Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch. I'm with the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, making the world go round. Kat, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Audible, all your favorite podcast platforms. We want to send out our thoughts and prayers to the Southern Californians dealing with the wildfires. It's an awful situation. We've had our own water issues this week in this town and an earthquake just to make things really cool here in 2025. And we're going to shout out two towns that are listening to us. One is Beirut, Lebanon, often called the Paris of the Middle East. Beirut is a thriving hotspot for shopping, socializing, sightseeing, despite the many wars and unrest. The city has been rebuilt several times, the modern architecture, sharing space with Ottoman and colonial French buildings. Our other town is Umhult, Sweden. Umhult is known for to be the birthplace of IKEA, the world's largest home furnishings company. You want to cuss out a pack box? You're going to have to blame Umhult for it. Anyway, giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is never in short supply here on the back porch. You know, bourbon makes me appreciate the little things in life, like a shot glass. Today, I'm doing shots of Bullet Bourbon with the Mountain Dew Chaser. When I want to get there, that's the path I take. Kat, what you got?
I have a lovely strawberry lemon drop I'm trying out. It's pretty good. Got a little bit left of the strawberry syrup. Made me a strawberry lemon drop.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, today we ask the question, what happened to cool? Where did all the cool people go? Is cool dead? Is it no longer a thing? I guess we're down to the internet, the influencers telling us what's hip at the moment. That's not going to work. I'm going to say cool started in the 50s, right? Hot rod cars, black leather jackets, hair slicked back. Think Marlon Brando in the Wild One.
Right.
The 60s, we had bell bottoms, Barbies, the Beatles, lava lamps, go-go boots. That was all cool. The 70s, it was cool to be a hippie or hang out with the disco crowd, dressing up, hitting the dance floor.
Yeah, I mean, there was an interview the other day about Bob Dylan and his influence on movies, and I never really thought about that, but he really liked James Dean and Rebel Without a Cause, and he liked about it was James wanted to shake things up and had a different view of the way he wanted the world to go when he was in Rebel Without a Cause. And that's kind of, I think, one of the first times you really see someone who's not going along with the system, and it's kind of cool.
That's kind of the definition of cool.
Right.
Doing your own thing, not following the pack. Let's see, where were we up to? The 80s. We had, big hair, leg warmers. The ladies had shoulder pads. Dudes were wearing members-only jackets.
But were those people really cool?
That was cool at the time.
Okay.
Swatch watches.
I had a Swatch. You had a Swatch.
The Corvette was the cool rig of all the Coke dealers back then. Now, when we hit the 90s, I think it's when it started to slide a little bit as far as cool goes. We had the grunge flannel. Everything was
right
flannel. You know, the 90s things kind of got a little raunchy. Fashion was with the jumpsuits, sweatsuits. The boy band started popping up.
Aren't things popular or are they cool?
I agree. That's what I'm saying. This is what was out there, and you make a good point. It wasn't cool. When you look back on it now, it's like, what the hell was this? But this is what was shoved in our face.
Well, I love when Andy has on Watch What Happens, and they have someone, they'll show some of their old outfits they used to wear, and he does a thing, Hibachi or Versace.
Yeah.
What you should do with those clothes you used to wear.
Yeah.
And those ones right there at the turn of the century, 2000, some of those, a lot of people want to burn now.
Right. I mean, what do we have that's cool at the, you know, start of the 21st century? And let's start with like automobiles. We got the Alfa Romeo, which is cool. Bentley's cool. Of course, the Ferrari is cool. Other than that, we really got nothing. The automakers have decided that, I guess, cool is out. All the cars and trucks kind of look the same.
A lot of them are now copying what I used to drive, which was we bought 15 years ago. The Ford Bronco out looks exactly like a dumbed down FJ Cruiser.
Yeah. Took them a while to catch on. We need a new automaker to come up with, I don't know, just come out and rock our world. A company that makes cool ass looking vehicles at a decent price.
What, you don't like Tesla?
Not talking about Elon. those things are hideous. They're starting to look a little bit better. You know, what's cool in fashion these days? Nothing. But the Kardashians are wearing mom jeans now. I didn't even know.
Oh, the one they said the other day was coming back were skinny jeans. Nobody wants that shit.
Well, see,
again.
Nobody wants
skinny jeans.
Hopefully on the men's side, we got rid of the skinny stuff.
Of the Euro suit.
The skinny suit. What about the dudes wearing, maybe you just mentioned it, the pants that kind of stop at the ankle.
Right.
And there's no socks. And there's some kind of loafer shoe there. I don't know what that is. It's a bad look. I think they call them cigarette pants for some reason.
Well, they used to be on women, which I don't know how it generated to the male.
It's bad.
We're going to blame the Europeans on that.
Yeah,
sorry, Europeans.
I don't know. The skinny stuff is kind of lame. You know, when I saw the cigarette pants show up, I was just like, come on, this is even worse. You know, we got nothing. What are we doing? Where are the cool clothes at? You know, back in the day, you know, you'd see somebody wearing something different, something that caught your eye, and you go, damn, you know, I want to get those shoes. I want to get that jacket. And you just don't see it. You know, everybody dresses, you know, like homeless people. Hell, turn on MTV. You know, the rapper dudes, they're still wearing the big puffy jackets like they're in Antarctica. And the girls in the videos, they got on nothing. And, you know, speaking of the music industry, remember when bands look cool, right?
Right.
You know,
we saw a boy band the other day and they just looked like a bunch of dudes. I mean, they were just no sexuality bringing forth.
Bands had like cool they look cool. They, you know, the promo pics of the bands, you go, damn, you know, let's check them out. They look pretty cool. We don't even have, you know, any new bands worth a shit to even start with. You know, on the countryside, you know, we have the fashion sense of Lainey Wilson, who's trying to bring back the bell bottoms. And she said she's wearing them to distance herself from the crowd. Mission completed. You know, we got Hardy and Jelly Hole, whatever his name is, you know, look like they just got out of prison.
Well, Jelly Roll did get out of prison, didn't he?
And then we got Old Dominion, who got their name from
Someone went to JMU. That's how they got their name.
They should be called the Five Dorks. I mean, these dudes look like they just got out of the Old Navy store. I don't know what that is. You know, it took us 70 years for the divided states of America to go from cool to not cool at all. And, you know.
Well, you have to have a filter at this point. Am I being influenced to try and like this, or do I really like this?
Yeah.
I mean.
And everything, it comes and goes so fast. By the time people catch on to it, it's, oh, that's not cool anymore.
I mean, I have an unusual fashion sense, I guess. And sometimes people will like, where did you get that? But they'll like what I had on. Like, unfortunately, during the time I broke my ankle, I had this new pair of gym shoes from Nike that I really liked. And they were only supposed to be in the gym. Nobody was ever supposed to see those outside of this house. But they were the ones that were brought to the hospital for me to wear home.
You're welcome.
And I got so many compliments about these shoes.
You did.
We would go, you know, go to the physical therapist. Oh, I like those shoes. Those are pretty shoes. And I was like, yeah. No, nobody was supposed to see, you know, these purple shoes.
Again, cool. It's really not about what you wear. It's what you were talking about a little while ago. It's not what you drive. It's an attitude, right? It's your personality.
Right.
How you handle yourself day to day. I get my cool from my dad. I had a grandfather, cool as a cucumber, laid back, always dressed to the nines. You know, you either have it or you don't. It's in the DNA. I kind of miss cool. Really don't see it anymore.
Well, sometimes cool is how you approach, you know, you've picked something you really like and how you carry it off sometimes.
Yep. Seems like cool's kind of pieced out. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Awesome Lady. All right, this week it is Amy Tan, 72 years old from Oakland, California. Amy Tan is an American author best known for her novel,
The Joy and Luck Club.
This book came out, wow, in 1989, 36 right. Freaking years ago. And the Joy Luck Club movie came out in, it's like 4 or 5 years later.
Right.
93.
Great movie.
Now, remember, Amy Tan, she structured her story about four Chinese immigrant families to four players of the game Mahjong.
Right.
That was a game that was developed in China, but it's still very popular right now all over the world.
There's, you can sit there. I used to watch TikTok. Oh, why? By the way, I don't know. By the time this comes out, TikTok will be totally gone. There was two ladies that would play Mahjong, matching this, that, and the other. And it's interesting to watch, to see them play the game.
I'm going to play. I want to learn. All right, Amy Tan, she thought her first novel, The Joy Luck Club, would disappear from the bookstore shelves very quickly. But Amy was wrong. To this day, The Joy Luck Club has sold 20 million copies, been translated into over 25 languages. She went on to write 5 more novels, short stories, and children books. And her writing explores the struggles and triumphs of immigrant families. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, the old neighborhood we used to live in, we had one immigrant family, Indian, and one of the sons was in my son's grade, and he was always the top of the spelling bee. And I always, you know, he was a great kid, but of course, a lot of immigrant kids, when they come here, if you talk to any Indian families, especially, or Chinese, they need to have a doctor in the family or some.
There's pressure.
And, you know, but, you know, if you thrive under that pressure, that's great. Some people don't always thrive. You know, if you, like, wanted to be a comedian, I don't think that's going down too well with the family.
Right.
And one thing about Amy Tan that maybe I remember from an interview she did on CBS Sunday Morning, she loves birds. And she has all these bird feeders, especially hummingbirds, in her house there in San Francisco. And she's done journals about birds and written books about birds.
I can relate.
Behavior and habits.
Yes, she did take up bird watching.
Right.
Pretty cool. Amy Tan definitely paved the way for more Asian American writers to gain mainstream recognition. And that makes Amy Tan one tough, awesome lady. Did we watch anything?
We watched something, and this is probably, I'm a science fiction geek, and for all the newest, and by the way, we're going to have a moment of silence for David Lynch now,
yes,
who did the 1980s Dune. He's probably one of my favorite directors. Loved Blue Velvet, loved Eraserhead, loved Twin Peaks. That was one of my favorite viewings. I used to love to watch back in the 90s. Anyway, he was a great guy. And as we go on, and the last two Dune movies I've really enjoyed. They pretty much took David's original movie and have chopped them up into three parts, and Timothée Chalamet is doing a great job doing it. Anyway, HBO came out with a whole series, a little short, like six episodes or so, called Dune Prophecy. And it's about 10,000 years before Paul Atreides is in the picture. And it's following two Harkonnen sisters that combat forces that threaten, threaten the future of mankind to establish the fabled sect that become the Bene Gesserit. So I think you can watch this on its own. If you are a freak like me and really into the Frank Herbert universe, go for it. If you aren't, it's a whole new expanse into sci-fi that maybe you didn't know about. Watch it too. Two of the main people in here are two of my favorite actors. Travis Fimmel, of course, from Vikings. Oh, I love Travis so much. And Emily Watson, last great thing she did was The Serpent Queen for Stars. Anyway, it's really great because it is 10,000 years before Paul Atreides is on the scene. But you kind of get to see how that story came to be. Anyway, Dune Prophecy, it's on HBO. It was on HBO. You can also right now watch it on Max.
All right. I'm thirsty. What do we got?
Okay, this week we are doing the chocolate-covered pretzel shot.
Huh? Huh? We're going to eat a pretzel?
No, we're going to drink a pretzel.
Oh, shit.
Okay. You can pare this down, but it's 4 ounces of hazelnut liqueur, also known as Frangelico. 4 ounces of vanilla vodka. I took some chocolate syrup and put it around the rim and then dipped it in some salt.
How did you get it to stick around there just perfectly?
Just perfectly because it was brand new chocolate syrup. And we have some lovely flips.
Oh, you got to eat one of those?
Well,
too?
You could put it on side if you wanted to, but
gotcha.
If you need a comparison.
This is very professional looking.
Yeah.
Let's see what it tastes like. You know what? It's not bad. The salt is really salty. But it's a good shot. Very well done. Thank you, Kat.
You're welcome.
It's called what?
It is called the chocolate-covered pretzel shot.
I got chocolate all over me. All right. This week, we were bumpered in with a band called Shame. Formed in 2014 from South London, England. Shame has Charlie Steen on vocals, Eddie Green on guitar, Sean Coyle Smith on guitar, Josh Finnery on bass, and Charlie Forbes kicking out the jams on drums. Shame are a bunch of cheeky monkeys, which is a term used in England to describe someone who really doesn't give a shit. And shame, they really don't give a shit. The music part is great. The two guitar dudes and the bass player and drummer, they can freaking jam. As far as Charlie Steen goes, his vocals kind of take a minute to get used to. There's more, call it chanting or yelling or something.
Well, I mean, when they started into a pub, Queen's Head Pub in Brixton, London. Early equipment was makeshift. Drums were made out of gaffer tape.
I told you, these dudes.
And Charlie Sheen cupping his hands instead of a microphone. Didn't even have a mic.
Yeah, these dudes are a trip. You know, he does make you listen with his yelling or whatever, chanting or whatever. You don't really have a choice. Here's the reason Shame kind of caught my ear. They remind me of Fontaine's DC.
Right.
But Shame came out before Fontaine's DC. So I think Fontaine's DC owe them a little bit of props. Shame are very popular on their home soil.
And Charlie Forbes' dad came up with the name. The band were school friends that started music to get out of being bored. Yep. Boredom.
Check out Shame wherever you get your music. I want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We will see y'all down the road.
See ya.